Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
That's right. The Beer Chaser is back after this victory from the Saints over the Chargers. I am Dale. I got B-Train with me. What's up, bro?
Yo, what's up? Glad to be here.
Man, can we just play a game without having, you know, any kind of drama at the end? Like, that'd be nice.
Oh, man. Sloppy.
We got officials out there doing math on the open mic. Are you like that, bro?
It's preseason for them, too. It's preseason for everybody. Yeah. Amateur hour out there.
Yeah, for real, man. For real. Oh, my goodness. So, let me see here. The Saints win 22-17. Defeat the Chargers. You didn't get to see too many of the starters here or actual contributors. They sat down Carr and Jameis Winston started the game. So we also did get to see Jake Haener for a good amount of time. And the Chargers played one guy. They played Easton Stick. So I guess they got all their work in during the week, during the joint practice, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, they did that leading up to the hurricane, and they probably liked what they saw, and they wanted to give Stick an opportunity to play a full game out there.
Yeah, for sure. What were your overall thoughts then about the game?
I got a few things. You know, the presentation of all of this, I thought, was pretty sloppy. You know, I was subjected to the NFL Network broadcast, which was the Chargers crew, which I don't know if that's how people feel when they watch, you know, a game in New Orleans when it's, you know, preseason. But that was frustrating. And then, you know, part of me just naturally wants to blame the officials for everything terrible that happens. But I mean, honestly, like, I think that's one thing the Saints really got to clean up. And for some of these guys that are trying to make the team, you know, that's how you identify yourself as someone who's going to get cut. You know, we had that one guy, and God, I'm drawing a blank right now, that cost us at least a touchdown in there with some of those, you know, pick plays or whatever they were calling flags on.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Bryan Edwards did himself no favors.
That's right.
Edwards making the team. So, yeah, he ruined that drive you're talking about with like two penalties on that drive, killed that drive, resulted in a field goal. So,
and you know, I get it's preseason, and some of this is like the kind of stuff you can clean up, but like you don't want to be seeing that going into the season, especially when like penalties and just lack of discipline has been something that the Saints have struggled with before, in my opinion. So,
yep. Yeah. Last year, man, like every post game, we were talking about the amount of penalties, and you know, we've got the same problem with this game here. Let me see if I can go ahead and find that info right now, because
sure. Well, and while you're pulling up, tell me some of the other thoughts I had. I know that we weren't starting our main offensive line, although we did have Penning out there who, you know, I thought looked okay. But so it's hard for me to tell on some of this, like, hey, was the line just, you know, was it our backup offensive line against their starting defenders or something like that? Because I felt, you know, when Jameis was out there for the first half, you know, again, it's hard for me to, you know, ascribe the blame. I didn't think our running game was great. I thought Jameis was kind of running around for his life out there. Yeah. So I thought there was a number of issues that could probably stem from just having a, you know, immature and inexperienced line out there against, you know, some starters. But yeah, I did not think that was good. I think a lot of our issues came from a lack of good line play early in the game.
Well, you know, that's always the problem with preseason, right? The line play. The second team offensive line, they did struggle a little bit. I did like what I saw from Penning for the most part.
I agree.
He finished a lot of blocks, laying on top of people, doing wrestling moves, all that kind of good stuff, right?
yeah, for sure. You know what's funny is I actually thought that they, you know, as I'm watching the game, I thought Stick looked, you know, really good. And, you know, some of that I was saying partially jokingly, but towards the end, I thought he was starting to hit his stride. But, like, I'm looking at the stats right now, and he only had a, you know, passer rating of 48.1. You know, I think it's the two interceptions that does it. But yeah. To that point, I thought our defense actually looked okay. You know, some of these depth guys that are making a case for the practice squad, like Lalos for sure.
Yes.
Oh my God. In the fourth quarter, he looked great.
There was an animal in the fourth quarter, man.
Yes. Yes. Fighting hard for a spot. Early on, when we had, what's his name? Jalen Smith. I thought he looked strong in that first drive or so.
Yes. That's my note I wrote down for Jalen Smith. I said, he belongs on the team. Like, yes. He just out there, he looks different as a linebacker. Maybe the team was just really trying to let the young guys, you know, kind of show their things and get things going. And then they brought in Jalen Smith. But yeah, he belongs on the team.
Yeah.
You can't cut him.
No, his range was great.
Yes.
I don't know where Anthony Barr is right now. Maybe he's looking for a job somewhere. But
yeah,
Jalen Smith looks like he was a great signing.
I'm so glad we didn't get Barr.
Definitely.
I really had my doubts about Jalen Smith and his running ability just because of, you know, the injury, the fact that Dallas cut him. He was like a third or fourth round pick or something like that, man. Like, yeah. You don't just cut this guy before the season starts.
I was confused by that. I was like, right. What's going on here?
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, I look, good on them for bringing him in, and he did his thing. Circling back to the penalties, we had 14 penalties for 141 yards. They had 5 penalties for 26 yards.
Yeah, you can't win like that.
Huge difference, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got lucky that we had the turnover differential we did, because otherwise right. you can't win with a difference in penalties like that.
That's right. That was the difference. We got 2 turnovers. And they turned the ball over twice. So,
yeah. And look, I am the first one to tell you that officiating in the NFL is not great. But I mean, again, that can only go so far. And there was a lot of just undisciplined stuff I saw out there today.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They're going to have to clean this up. I mean, but I will say the second team penalties. Like, I'm really upset about that, because the way I see it, the second team is going to play, and you're going to mix and match those guys. You're going to play up against some other second teams too. So you need to win those battles too. So that part about preseason, I find important, and I can't just sweep it under the rug. So,
yeah. If we're talking like safeties or wide receivers late in the fourth quarter, I'm not as worried about it, but like, in the first half, when you have offensive linemen that you know are probably going to play at some point in the season,
yeah,
it's concerning.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. Let's see, we got some some chats here. Beer Chaser is a relatable title to me. So, from somebody on Facebook, we appreciate that.
What do I have here? I was nursing this throughout the second half. Corona,
there you go.
Yeah, you know, I thought in honor of the game being in the hurricane stricken Southern California area, thought it was appropriate.
Yep. We also got another comment from Jacob. After Chargers, we're with that. You're welcome here, sir.
Hey, that's our minor league team you're talking about. We got Breeze and Sproles and Pete Carmichael from there. They've been good to us.
Yeah. And then he made a comment about Storm Norton. And we talked in our chat about Storm Norton. I always make fun of Craig because Craig doesn't think the Saints could do any wrong. So, when we signed him, I called him Storm and Norton, you know, not knowing anything about the guy at all. But he comes in, he gets a penalty on the second drive or something like that, a first drive, one of the two.
Yeah.
What did you see from the right tackle, Storm Norton?
Same thing. Same thing. And what's funny is when we first signed him, I thought the same thing as everyone. Wow, what a cool name. What a great football name. This guy's got to be good, right?
Right.
But I looked in the Chargers fan forums. I don't know if it was their subreddit or whatever, but because I think that was the last team he played for. And the consensus was, not great. And I get that that's not the best barometer to judge a player's success on. But what he did today was consistent with what Chargers fans were saying was, the standard for him when he played for them. Just a lot of penalties every game. He's a big guy. Like, he's physically gifted. He's talented. Like, he has what you want in an offensive lineman, but that has not equated. And I think it's, it hasn't equated to success on game day. And honestly, I think it's the discipline level there.
Yeah. Lynn Bowden Jr. He made a few plays. He made a big play on that wide receiver screen from Jameis Winston. And I thought he looked pretty good returning some punts. What did you think about Lynn Bowden?
Yeah, I agree. He was one of the bright spots for sure. And I think a lot of these guys that are, trying to make the team as a receiver, I thought looked pretty good. Him, Shaq Davis, for sure.
Yeah. Davis like a monster, dude.
Yes. Yeah. Kirkland too. Davis, Kirkland, Bowden. I thought all of them were making plays out there, like just going out of their way to make it happen. And that's how you make the team. Even look, I have not been the biggest fan of the drafting of Kendre Miller, but he proved that he can catch, and he had that one big screenplay. I think overall our run game wasn't great, but I did like to see him involved in the screen game.
Yeah, definitely. That was the knock coming out on him out of college, right? He wasn't involved in a passing game.
Yeah.
At TCU,
but he admitted that was something he needed to work on in his game.
Yeah, it was a nice wheel route he caught, 27 yards. He had three targets in the game. I mean, that's pretty big. So, I like what I saw from Kendre Miller. I want to see more still. I'm not ready to just, say he's ready to go. Like, I need him for sure for those first 3 weeks. If you don't show up and at least be running back number two in those first 3 weeks, it's a bust for me. That's the way I feel about it.
Look, especially if game one against guess who? Tennessee.
Yeah.
If Spears balls out, come on, man. There's going to be hell to pay.
Bro, listen. I don't care about anybody's feelings at that point.
Yes.
When they're going head to head and that guy shows up and you don't, hey, that the critics are going to come out.
Yep. I told you so.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. But look, I'd love for Miller to come out there and look good. Another one, jury is still out for me on this one. Lucas Kroll. He had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
He made some good plays, and then there was a few where he could have solidified a spot on the team. And it's going to be hard, man, especially with Taysom, by the letter of the law being considered a tight end somehow, to expect this team to carry four, maybe five tight ends. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, man.
So I still think he's got a good shot. I think he has the inside route to make the team, but that's a lot of tight ends. And, he didn't do a lot to really lock it down today, I think.
Yeah, that touchdown could have been huge for him, especially, in his category. But, if you want to be that reliable tight end, like, you got to make those red zone plays. Like, get up there, take the hit, come down with that ball. That's it, man.
Yeah, for sure. But, I did like his hustle out there.
Yeah. Another comment from Jacob. He's talking about Jameis being skinny.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't think about that.
He's used to those crab leg Jameis, man. That's what he used to.
Well, that's weird. Living in New Orleans, that's hard to be skinny like that.
Yeah. Last year, he started, he changed his diet to becoming a vegan and started losing that weight, to try to stay healthy. I guess that's what his goal was, but
hey. He's looking good.
Yeah, for sure.
Happy for him.
Let's see. Okay. So comment from Dave said we got a Turner Port sack.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Breesy fumble recovery and Miller deep reception and a touchdown. So Like, mission accomplished. That's what he thought about the game there.
Yeah, the breezy recovery, that was all, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, even Turner, too, with that pressure led to that. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I thought the defense looked good. I mean, I know that it was a closer game than it probably should have been, but, yeah.
Yep. Lonnie Johnson also made some plays out there, even late in the game. He was out there, and he made some plays.
Did he get hurt?
He did get hurt, but he came back, and he made that play to end the game.
The
last interception,
That was good. That was strong. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is good. Well, and, you know, that because of the what's it called? The pressure, you know, that led to that. I thought that was good. Getting in his face, forcing him to throw the pick, and then made the smart move, just ran it back a little bit, but then took a knee, man. No need to risk a fumble or anything like that.
Yep. What do you think about Jameis Winston and the 2-minute drill? Like, I'm starting to think he's like the king of the 2-minute drill, because it's like he's moving the ball in chunks down the field. He's going to get you in position at least for a field goal all the time. And he closed out the half, getting us down the field.
Yeah. No, he had the guy needs pressure. The guy needs to be under pressure, and somehow he, you know, looks good. He rises to the occasion.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, I still, you know, small sample size this preseason, I guess, but I think, you know, in the off season when we were talking about signing Carr before it happened, I was like, well, you basically get the same thing with Jameis, but for way cheaper. But I mean, I'm convinced now Carr is way better, and maybe I'm just looking at it through rose-tinted glasses, but I mean, just looking at Jameis scrambling out there. I mean, I think we made the right decision with Carr, but having him as a backup is great. It's entertaining watching him for sure.
I agree. I really like having Jameis as a backup. He is just like one play. It's an amazing play. You know, maybe throw good decision. And then a few plays later, it's like, what are we trying to accomplish here, James? What are we doing?
He tries to force it too much.
Yeah. He's just forcing it. Kind of goes YOLO on us. So. Let's see. Another comment. Merriweather was looking good, though, out there, catching and running. What you think about Merriweather this game?
I like him. And after week one, I thought – Kendre Miller needed to be worried about, you know, his job. Because you remember in 2007, the Saints drafted Antonio Pittman and still cut him for Pierre Thomas, an undrafted guy. So, but Merriweather today, I did think he looked good, both in the running game and in the receiving game. And it's kind of hard to compare him against Miller, who was going up, you know, earlier in the game against stiffer competition. But, you know, Merriweather still made the most of his limited looks out there. And they did start giving the ball a lot more to Darrell Williams, I noticed, who I didn't think looked as good as Merriweather. So maybe next week I'd like to see Merriweather, a bigger dose of him if we could.
Yeah, so it's going to be the third preseason game. I think that they're going to just let the younger guys play for the most part and figure out roster spots. So this will be the Merriweather kind of game for me. I'm imagining we're gonna see Darrell Williams too, just because they just signed him and they're battling for that roster spot. So I can see him coming out there and performing again. Let's talk again, Jontre Kirkland, because this is the I told you so moment, because you get that SEC guy out there and he's looking good from LSU. Like he made that big play, put us in scoring position, but the penalties killed us from silly Brian Edwards and his foolishness. I'm a little glad to see Jontre Kirkland out there making plays, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And he even ran the ball once, too. He had an 8-yard carry. I thought he looked good. I thought he made a strong case for himself. And I know that there's some people in the fandom that aren't cool with, drafting anyone that has or, you know, signing anyone that has any association with the state of Louisiana for some reason.
Right.
I don't really get that, but
I don't get the beef with Louisiana players.
They're good, man. They're good, whether it's LSU or Tulane.
Yes. Yes.
Or Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana. Thank you.
Yeah. I think Sean Payton didn't like that. I think Coach Allen knows what's up. So
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Kirkland's fun to watch.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Look, the last game I remember seeing him was him playing the bowl game, the LSU. He was the emergency quarterback. And he had to play. You know, look, guy's a baller out there, okay, from Louisiana. Tell me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What did you think with the kicking battle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too. Just special teams in general.
Yeah. We got both of them out there
battling. Yeah. Yeah. The punter thing is like, you know, both of them, I feel like they haven't really separated themselves. And I think if they're about the same, then you almost got to err on the side of Gillikin. You know, I thought they both looked okay. Mm-hmm. There was that first punt by Headley didn't look great, but after that, I thought it pretty good. And Groupie, as far as the, you know, place kickers, I thought Groupie looked really good. You know, I'm hoping he didn't get stopped by security going to the locker room this week. That bro, little fella.
Bro, yeah. This dude looked like a straight up kid. My goodness, man.
He is a little fella, that's for sure. I think he's doing good. And I don't know that he's gonna make the team because I think Lutz looks great too. And you know, I don't know what you get by cutting Lutz. He's more expensive. You know, I'm not a cap expert or anything, but you know, just in terms of talent and experience and all that, if the two are equal, then you're probably going to go with Lutz.
Well, Lutz just had to take a cut this season, right? So
yeah, he did.
He's back on the cheap. So
yeah, so you gotta that'd be messed up, man, if they cut him after that,
right?
for this 16-year-old kid that looks like he hasn't even graduated high school yet.
Right, exactly. So the stats from the kicking, Lutz was 3 of 3. His long was 51 yards, and Groupie was 2 of 2. His long was 37 yards. So both solid performances from those two. But yeah, I agree with you. Like you gotta take it from Lutz, and if Lutz ain't missing, and he got the longer kick, that's who you're gonna go with. So,
yeah, I think Groupie has a place in the NFL. You know, these guys go down sometimes, and
that's right.
He'll be on the Saints speed dial. I hope in case that, you know, unfortunately happens for New Orleans, but you know, someone else could snatch him up too.
Yep, that's right.
And
the punting, we have Lou Headley. He had 5 punts, average of 44 yards. He had 2 inside of the 20, with a long of 49, and Gillikin with 2 punts for 90 yards, 1 inside the 20. The long is 47. So just looking at those two numbers, I mean, Headley's in the lead here.
Yeah. You know, they gave him a lot of opportunities today. And one thing I kind of noticed was it looks like he's doing that new thing that seems kind of popular amongst NFL punters, almost like that rugby style where he would kind of run off to the side a little bit.
Okay.
He did that at least once. I think he's a pretty athletic guy too. Mm-hmm. If I'm not wrong, I get some of these guys confused, so I don't know. I think he may have played quarterback at some point, but I might be wrong on that. It's hard to mistake him though on the field with all those tattoos. I didn't get a good look at the hang times. They both looked pretty similar to me. I think Headley struggled a little bit early on. They gave him a lot more look. So if I had to guess right now, I'd say Gillikin probably has the edge, but I do like the fact that Dennis Allen seems to be really pushing this competitive mindset on the team.
That's right. Headley grew up in Australia, so he's one of those Australian players there.
Aussie rules. Footy, they call it down there,
So that could be where he get that style for that that you just explained. So
Yeah, went to the U, Miami, just like Jimmy Graham. We got 2 Miami guys on the team now.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, his story alone is cool. So, but I do like Gillikin. Whenever I see these guys battling, though, part of me is like, man, Morstead's still out there. Yeah, we could have just held on to him, but
yeah, That's true, man. It hurts me when I see him. You know, he's out there. He's performing. He's doing his thing.
I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's still out there, but I wish it was with us.
It still hurts, though.
Yeah. It did him dirty.
Still hurts, man. Yep. All right. Let's go over the uniforms since we're just wrapping up this beer chaser, and
yes,
we can probably end up tacking this little part on to the playbook, the play call sheet. I mean,
sure, I like it.
So, man, we were talking about practice uniforms, and if you notice, when you look around practice uniforms, and especially looking in college too, we're seeing different things going on with the helmets. It started, a couple years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
This protective device that they're putting on top of the helmets now.
Yeah, well, condoms.
Yeah. we call them helmet condoms, okay?
That's right.
So how do you feel overall about these helmet condoms here?
Well, I got to be honest with you. They're not aesthetically pleasing as other elements of the uniform, but they're all about safety. And I think just for the pure chaos of it all, Goodell should go ahead and mandate it for everyone at all times.
So there was a discussion, well, not discussion, but an article on NBC Sports where they said that the Guardian caps actually saw a 52% decrease in concussions because of the use of the Guardian caps. And so the data is saying that the Guardian caps are actually working, and we should probably be using them. And so I believe next year it's going to end up being mandated.
Well,
you're going to have to end up using them.
That would imply that Goodell actually cares about player safety, which we know that he
does. They care about lawsuits.
Well, that's the thing. Next time there's a big class action lawsuits from a bunch of former players, then, you know, two things are going to happen. Yeah. One, the helmet condoms are going to be permanent full time. And then the Saints are also going to get their coach banned for a season for some made up bounties or some nonsense. But yeah, those two things will happen. Then all of a sudden player safety is paramount. It's the most important thing ever. But until then, you know, if Goodell's not making any extra money, in fact, actually he's going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay the Guardian cap company for that. So,
yeah.
Unless you can find a way to tack on like sponsorship to it, like if you could add some logos on there or something,
this is what I'm leading toward here, B-Trey. I think you're going with me here. So, the problem with the Guardian right now is it's ugly. Okay, they got to give it some more drip. All right, got to fix the drip.
Yes, this is not drip.
Right. All right. So what they could do is get in there with the designers, make it look like part of the helmet without actually noticing the actual condom itself, right?
Right.
You know?
The helmet's got to be designed to look like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what I think is they get some partnerships going on, some sponsorships, and by this time next year, they'll have this thing figured out to where the helmet condom looks good.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice it anymore. It's just normal. And then, you know, we're going to get started. And then I'm really expecting to see this happen in college too. So it's going to be helmet condoms for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of helmet condoms, but at some point let's just ditch the helmet and just wear the helmet condom. So it's kind of like the old leather helmets, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, throwback game.
There you go. Nobody's going to be throwing your head around with the leather helmet on. You ain't throwing your head around at all.
You know what? Our backup punter, competing punter, Lou Headley, they don't wear helmets in Australia. So this is probably very foreign to him, you know?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. This guy really is wondering what's going on right now. I got to kick the ball with a helmet on. I understand, bro.
Yeah, this is weird. Remember when, what was it, Gary Anderson or they had grandfathered some of the, you know, old time kickers into having just that one bar that, you know,
can
cover their face. So it's completely pointless.
Yes.
That was fun too.
Yeah, I remember that, man. back in the days when kickers wore no shoe on their kicking foot, you know.
Yeah, or in some cases didn't even have a whole foot, like Tom Dempsey was missing half his foot.
Yeah, kicked the ball with half a foot.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. Get off my lawn.
That's right.
All right, man. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week on the Beer Chaser B-Train. I appreciate you coming through, bro.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here. Great game. Who dat?
Who dat? We'll see y'all next time, man.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Also, smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends.